Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whenever you hear this OAR song, means we're about to go to New York City. Big City Nate, our friend Barstool Nate.
He's not in Vegas anymore?
I don't know. Where are you?
I love Big City Nate. Let's keep that nickname.
Okay. Are you still in Vegas? If you're still in Vegas, we can give you that name. If you're not, you're Little City Nate.
No, I'm in New York City, the biggest and most important city in the world.
You were in Vegas. Did you win?
Vegas went terribly. It went as bad as possible. So I'm back in New York City now.
So when you have a bad run like that, because don't you sell off portions of your potential winnings?
Yeah.
Does it get harder to sell it off for the next leg here?
No. So tournament poker is very frustrating, where the best players in the world cash in about 15% of all the tournaments they play. So that means in 85% of things you play, you're not making any money. So as a tournament player myself, I only played 4 tournaments when I was out there, and I went 0-4. So you can't really judge based on such a small sample size. However, it's very frustrating when you are a passionate poker player like me, but you only get to play 5 to 6 tournaments every year. So I can never really get any sort of sample size. So this trip just, it went bad. I didn't cash anything. I came home with my pockets empty, just back to the New York City grind.
Ain't it better to be a good poker instead of just a passionate poker player?
I would love to be better, B-Mitch. I would love to be, but I chose the New York City blogging life instead.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here, joining us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Nate at Barstool Nate, read his work for Barstool. Dude, it's obviously a dead time for sports, but it's also, there's kind of a lot going on down here right now. Let's start with the Nats. They had that god-awful losing streak, but now they've won 2 of the last 4. They look good last night. And perhaps more important than how this season goes, if they go 70 and 92, whatever it is, James Wood is really emerging as that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we got you. Okay. You just keep saying yeah.
My phone's acting up. I have a new one. I just need to get it activated. But, yeah, we talked about it, I think, last week or the week before, where the Nationals have traded themselves into this amazing core by trading Soto to the Padres and got back just, 5 bona fide studs. And now it's just up to the front office to decide what in the hell they're going to do, because they've just been in ownership limbo for – it feels like the last 10 years now. It's just every year. Are they being sold? Are they not? The money isn't being spent like we know it should be. And I think Nats fans are worried about just blowing this core, where if the ownership's not going to spend money to solidify the bullpen and the starting rotation, you just have these guys who are, James Wood is 22 years old. He is an all-star. He should get MVP votes. And management doesn't look like they can spend a dime to help this team. That stinks. We truly need to not waste this what we got back for Soto. That sort of trade with all these guys panning out, Mackenzie Gore, he's going to get Cy Young votes probably. You can't waste this. So I think the biggest issue in DC sports right now is who owns the Washington Nationals and what are they going to do about having – I don't want to say lucked into a generational young core, but, making the best trade in baseball history, making the most lopsided trade in baseball history, take advantage of that.
I don't think we need to get too freaked out about losing these guys because they're all under team control for such a long run that, like, yes, you don't want to waste it, but at the same time, I don't think the Nats get sold. There are major, big issues going on in baseball, both about a potential lockout and television rights with MLB trying to bring everything together. So I think, like, unfortunately, an actual sale of the Nats is probably at earliest, I don't know, I guess, you know, February, March of 26. Mm-hmm. But for me, man, with Wood especially, but Gore too, and we'll see who else, you know, emerges to be a true stud.
Dylan Cruz is still going to be great.
I just want to enjoy the James Wood thing and not have the discussion about losing.
Let me ask anybody this question because I heard somebody talk about this. The record that was for the longest for losing was what, 13 or 12 games? 12 games.
The all-time record.
And then
they got to 11.
They got to 11. Was anybody mad? Because there were some people that was wishing that they broke the record because they felt things would happen if that happened. Any one of y'all felt that way?
Mad they didn't get to 12 or 13, so they'd have to fire
Navy?
They had
to make stuff happen.
No, I mean, once you lose 9 in a row, 10 in a row, 11 in a row, what's one more game in a row?
When you got a record, you break a record like that, that's when things go way south.
If Davey survived throwing the entire team under the bus while losing back-to-back series to the Marlins and the Rockies, I think he's pretty safe. I don't know what else. You know, it went, what, 2 in a row to the Rangers, then swept by the Mets, swept by the Marlins, swept by the Rockies at home. So, I think Davey is rather safe.
They broke it. I think there was a lot of lingering anger, but the way they broke the streak with James Wood hitting the walk-off home run really made it a lot better. I think that kind of changed it and just how good Wood's been. You want him in the home run derby, Nate Dogg?
I think James Wood should be everywhere. He should be home run derby. He should be all-star game. He should be on the cover of video games. He's really – I like when they put graphics up on the screen when they compare him to Soto and Harper because he's really already at 22 just like they are. But he's just so exciting. I mean, ginormous. He's bigger than Gronk. He's like 6'7", 250 pounds. And he just does everything right every single night. You know, it just – here's another 450-foot home run. James Wood should be in front of everybody's eyeballs as often as possible. He's so electric, and – he hits the ball a mile. It's very Aaron Judge-esque.
You're not lying about that one. I'm talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's switch it, dude, to the Wiz. The NBA draft is this week. There's growing speculation that Ace Bailey will be the pick for the Wizards. Yeah. I mean, there was a time where people were like, Ace Bailey might be able to push Cooper Flagg for the number one pick. I think Dylan Harper was objectively better this past year at Rutgers. And then there's kind of this weirdness of how Ace Bailey is handling the pre-draft circuit. He's not going on visits.
Yeah.
But he's also a really, you know, the NBA drafts for potential unlike any other league, and that dude has a ton of potential. Where do you land? Who do you want the Wiz to get?
Yeah, the Ace Bailey situation is very strange. As you said, there were people wondering if he could push Cooper Flagg. I mean, he was never going to, but hey, the discussion was had. He's 18, he's 6'10", and he's being super weird in his whole pre-draft process. He wouldn't even go visit the 76ers, who, you know, when healthy – can win the East. But, you know, they have the fourth pick because they were so unhealthy and Embiid can't stay on the floor. Ace Bailey seems, as the rumors go, to want to play in Washington, which when you hear that, your jaw kind of drops because when was the last time you heard someone say, please don't take me, I want to go to number 6 to Washington? If that is true, if that rumor is true, I mean, come on down, man. I'll build your house and wherever you want it. Great Falls is lovely. So if Ace Bailey wants to be in Washington, we already know we have this extremely young, talented core. If he's the centerpiece of it all, I would love it. I mean, none of us know, especially with the NBA draft, how guys at 18 who went to Rutgers can make the jump immediately. Maybe he'll be elite immediately in NBA. Maybe he'll need a lot of time to develop and he'll have to put in the work. I don't know. What I do know is if a guy is thought to go number 1 or number 2 overall and he wants to go number six to the Wizards, that's my guy.
Well, I say this, man. The team, the group that put together the team that just won the NBA championship, put a lot of those guys on that team, is sitting here now. So if he wants to come here and they got some young guys already, you got to look at the possibilities. We're not saying it's going to happen, but, hell, they just put one they put one together there.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City built the team the correct way. Mm-hmm. They have 1,000 more draft picks in the next 5, 6, 7 years. I think they are a model franchise how to build a team, and I think the Wizards, you know, for as bad as they've been, they're doing things correctly. I feel confident saying the Wizards are doing things correctly. I think all three of us want the Wizards to be good so badly because the NBA is so exciting and there's so much good talent in the NBA. And we just haven't really had a good Wiz team in, I mean, what, 10 years? Over 10 years, I guess. So, yeah, hopefully whoever we get at six, Ace Bailey or otherwise, is that dude.
Yeah, I like Con Knipple, but I actually think he's going to be gone, dude. Bailey is a super intriguing prospect, and I guess they just want to get as many super intriguing prospects on the roster as they can and see what happens. What did you think of the NBA Finals overall?
I thought it was a very good playoff. I mean, going to Game 7 in the Finals with the Pacers being the – I mean, Pacers were, what, the biggest underdogs to – enter an NBA Finals. Oklahoma City had, you know, the basically record-setting regular season, kind of breezed through the playoffs, and then the Pacers just gave them headache after headache. It, very anticlimactic, unfortunate ending to it, obviously, with the injury to Haliburton. Just sucks to watch that happen after he came out just shooting the lights out. But overall, I mean, you can't hate on OKC. They built this team. They made the correct trades. They got a couple superstars. And people are saying they could be a dynasty with just how young and good they play. They play great defense. They score. And they just won their first title. So I didn't hate the finals. I think you're insane if you hated the finals because of the ending. It was just in another simulation, I would like to see Game 7 with a healthy Haliburton, because I think Indiana – you know, they had they played amazing. Like, they played awesome. It was so fun to watch them.
How they won.
It just sucks that
they put up numbers. They put up viewing numbers in that final game.
Yeah.
So everybody
for
talk
game
about
seven.
Everybody talk about having two small market teams. They put some numbers up. So
the NBA is awesome.
See what happens
NBA
when you have competition when you really play hard?
Right.
People want to watch it.
Yeah.
It does. I said this yesterday, and I don't mean this like overly negative, but this does seem like the most – I don't feel like I'm going to remember – the stuff I'll remember from this playoffs in 5 years, the biggest thing I think will be the Haliburton shot at the Garden that ended up only tying it and not breaking it when he hit the Knicks fans with the Reggie Miller choke. Like, I don't think – I think this is a very forgettable finals. There's not like a – like, I remember Joker. I remember Giannis, the LeBron block. Like, over the years, like, I just don't know that there's a moment in this one, this finals I'm going to remember.
The first game of this finals was
when Indy stole it.
When it came back.
Yeah.
Because then after that, you had a game – you had one game that was won by 7, one was won by 9. The rest of them were double-digit wins on either side.
And even when Indy won game 6 – I very much felt like, all right, well, the Thunder are just going to win game 7.
They're going to win game 7.
And the injury kind of taints it. But
I mean, they can taint all. I think even if he played, they were going to win it.
I do, too.
Just saying.
I do, too. Nate, I got a text last night from my sister-in-law at like 10 o'clock. Hey, I'm freaked out about Terry. I just Googled it, and it said New England might trade for him. I said, where are you finding this? It wasn't a reputable source.
No.
When do you allow yourself to get concerned?
Your sister-in-law is at 10 o'clock at night Googling to find out what's happening with Terry?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, she's a real football fan.
She's a football fan.
Damn.
Shout out to Caitlin.
Kate, what's up? Go to sleep. Damn, rest. What the hell?
Anybody that's asked me, I said if we get past July 15th, you can start to have a modicum of stress about this. just because then you get to training camp and then it kind of changes the vibe. I still think this gets done. I don't think people need to be too concerned. Where are you?
Hasn't changed. I would prefer him to be signed. I would prefer him to have an extension. I would prefer him to play in D.C. for his entire career. Do I get worried that he's not signed currently? A little bit. I think I've said on this show more times than anything that I trust Adam Peters in the front office, like, with everything. Whatever decision they make, whatever they do, I'm fully behind 100%. I don't think they can do any wrong. So I say that by saying maybe there's a reason Terry hasn't put pen to paper yet, but everything might be fine. The other side, the devil on your shoulder, goes, maybe there's a reason that he hasn't signed, and maybe that reason is, you know, they're not giving him the deal that he wants, and maybe there is some conflict between his agent and the front office, and maybe they really truly aren't aligned on an extension. We don't know which one it is. We don't know if things are fine and it just takes time and he'll, you know, be in camp July 15th, or if there really is strife. That's what worries me, is we don't know. And the longer it goes, the more it seems like they're not on the same page. That's all conjecture, though, because honestly, like, it could be either. I do worry that they're not on the same page, though. Yes.
I don't. But I think that's fair. That's why I say July 15th. So that's 7-8 days before veterans report to camp. Like, that's when you kind of
get to
crunch time then. I don't think we're at crunch time yet.
Now, the tricky part will be, guys, is let's say it is the devil on the shoulder and they're not aligned on the money and the years or anything. We have to continue to trust Adam Peters, though, because, like, he hasn't shown that he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, like, we have to trust him in the front office, and we can't go back to the Dan Snyder stuff where, oh, ownership should step in and make this happen. We can't think that way. So let's say worst case scenario is he does not sign an extension. It's going to be tough as fans to be like, oh no, like, is this the first misstep by this new regime? I don't know. I just want to trust that everything will work out the way it should work out. I hope we don't get there. But at the end of the day, I do trust this new management that they've put in to make the best decision possible for this team.
I'm with you on that, Nate.
I think that's the right place to land. I also think trusting the front office will land with a McLaurin 3-year extension. So,
and if it doesn't, what do we do?
There's nothing you can do. Just watch the team and cheer.
Yeah.
I mean, Debo. It's like we ask those questions. What do we do? We can't do a damn thing. All we can do is watch the games.
Yeah, but I'm bracing myself for a crash landing. That's the thing. I don't worry about it.
I don't think you should be bracing yourself for a crash landing right now.
I hope not.
Practice your poker. You're going back to Vegas soon.
Yeah, I am.
He'll be right back.
I'm going to England and then flying direct from London to Vegas.
What's going on in England?
I'm going to the Oasis concert, their first show back in Cardiff, Wales.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, so their first show in 15 years I will be at.
That's dope. Enjoy that. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Love you guys.
All right, man.
It's our friend Barstool Nate. When we come back, John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter, the John Keim Report, will join the program.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, fired up to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in our friend, Mr. John Keim. Johnny, what's up, dude? How are you?
What up, man? I'm used to the Pretenders leading me in here.
Landfill's off this week. Jeff's in the big chair, and you know, right. Sometimes things are ups
there
and downs.
Go. It's a nice little change of pace.
There we go. Of course, you can read all John Keim's work at ESPN.com. Check out the John Keim Report on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. let's start. I think your last pod, I listened to it, was talking about the run defense. And
right.
We don't know that they're going to be better. The only thing I can tell you definitively, and I'm guessing all of us that have been out there, me, you, and B, will say the same thing. They got a lot bigger.
Yeah.
A lot bigger. And that's, you know, obviously Javon Kinlaw, but it's Kinlaw, it's Eddie Goldman. Now, what Goldman has left, we'll see. But I don't think he doesn't have to be a full-time lineman. They're going to rotate guys. Dietrich Wise, bigger and stronger at end, right? So the combo with him and Dorrance Armstrong, and then if Cleveland Farrell can stay healthy or if he's recovered from whatever knee issues that bothered him last year, that helps. So, they will be bigger. And then you go, JP, you go into those, like, when they'd run those three defensive tackle sets, like, you can now have more size in there and also have guys who should be able to rush the passer at times. Like, you could go Deron Payne with Goldman, obviously a run stopper with Javon Kinlaw as an end in that look, or you could go with a little bit more speed or quickness with Johnny Newton instead of Goldman, right? So give you a different look. But they definitely are bigger.
Definitely.
The fact that they've gotten much bigger inside, which may call for them, some people having to double inside and leaving the outside guys one-on-one, and could that help them out a little bit?
I think where it really helps is be the linebackers and keeping them clean more as much as – because, like, those guys would get double-teamed last year a decent amount, and then there were, like, some games where they would adjust, like, how they aligned up to make double teams harder, or maybe they'd have to reach for them a little bit differently and it would help. But if you're double teaming those guys, then someone's free. And if you're not, then conceivably those guys should win more. Right. So yeah, I think there's all that trickle down, but I also think it extends to like little things that maybe you get into this, but like how much more time the front seven is working together, that worked together this spring compared to the past. And just so you know, like, okay, in this look, this is where you have to fit. If this happens, this is where you have to fit. And having more communication with that group, which I think clearly they felt was a little bit of an issue last year because they spent more time on it this year. So will that matter? Like, maybe, and we have to see it, but I don't think it hurts.
Talking with John Keim here. You can give him a follow at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Let's switch. So I think the biggest topic for Commanders fans right now is the Terry McLaurin situation. I was joking with B-Mitch. My sister-in-law texted me at 10 o'clock, very worried about it. I was like, just relax, Caitlin. I think unless we get to a week out of training camp with no news, I think this is just customary business. That's sound about right to you?
I think it is with an asterisk. I think, yes, it is in that, like, we've seen holdouts over the last several years, and it feels like there's getting more because players, I think, have a little bit more power maybe than in the past. I don't, Debo holds out, Ayuk holds out. You've had other guys threatened. So how many of those guys traded? They don't, right? So I do think something eventually gets worked out here. The asterisk comes in, what is the value? And, you know, from one standpoint, if you're looking at it from the team standpoint, he's going to be 30. And that's typically an age where receivers slow down, right? And their production, you know, you start to top off a little bit. And then by the time the contract's up at 33, where is that player at? The other side would say, okay, that's true. He'll be 30, but he's only been in the league for 6 years. Like, Mike Evans was 30. I think he was 30 when he signed a contract. He'd been in the league for 10 years. So you can start to see, like, does he start wearing down? And so I think that's where, and then the other part is he's got a quarterback that can help make him stay productive more than maybe what he was. And it's not just catches or yards. It's also the touchdowns, right? And can it get even better? So, and his importance to this offense is rather high. And we all know that. They know that. But I do think it's not like they're not willing to pay him. It's just a matter of you have to get to the price.
Yeah, get to the price. But where has he shown he's slowing down? I don't see that.
And I don't see it.
That's an extra part that goes into that. And I think the ultimate thing comes down to, Listen, Ayuk was in every was going to every team under the sun. He ended up right back in San Fran.
Right.
You hear no rumors about Terry right now. I think he's going to end up right back here in Washington.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. His value here is pretty high. And, again, they know it. And it's we know, like, if this was a guy you would be worried about when he came in, the mindset, then maybe, like, do you look at it differently? I don't know that you do. But with McLaurin, you don't have to worry about that. You know how he's going to come in. You know he's working on his game. You know what he'll do when he gets here. And so I don't – yeah, that's not something – people – not everybody, but certainly get freaked out like, oh, they heard Terry was frustrated. Well, that's number one. Nobody's talked to Terry. But yeah. number two, like the pace of it, okay, yeah. Like you want – who doesn't want to get their things, their contract done right now? Everybody. And,
right. But everybody I, you know, with
is
a contract.
There, is there, right. And is there more to it this time? Maybe. Because I do think, like you said, like he hasn't shown signs of slowing down. I think the concern, or if you want to use for if you're going to use the age, it's like not so much where he's at now, but where's he going to be at in 3 years, right? Or whenever that contract gets a certain amount. But you know, I've had I think it was Joel Corey, maybe you guys I think you guys had him on or
yeah.
But yeah, and so his comp was DK Metcalf, around $30 million per year. And their same draft class, very similar production. DK, though, I think is like 2 years younger. Is that a sticking point? I don't know. Will that, you know, so, but I think that, like, it sounds like a good comp, I guess, because I think it's hard to find a true comp for him.
Especially with the production prior to this year, because the production prior to this year was subpar quarterback play.
Still had production, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
if you look at what he did prior to this year, you need to say, well, damn, this guy's good.
Right.
Because the quarterbacks he had were like us.
Right. Right. Well,
maybe
yeah,
more like me and John than you.
Yeah, yeah, But you know, you and that's why I say, like, you look at DK Metcalf. I mean, the comps, the production is very similar, and he had worse quarterback play. So you know, does that mean he's Justin Jefferson? No, but does that mean he's really good and can be stay productive? Sure. And so like that, but I do think like that's where the age thing will be makes it trickier. Than if it had happened like 2 years ago, right? But doesn't mean it can't be abridged, right? I think ultimately, like, these sides want to be in business. Terry is good here. He's got a good quarterback to play with. And you were here through all the garbage. Why would you want to somehow go elsewhere? And these guys know the importance of McLaurin to the offense. So, like, when you have that, like, it eventually would get done.
I agree with you. Sheehan yesterday had a thing about kind of getting back to the old uniforms. Josh Harris has said that publicly, that we want to get back to like our more traditional look. The NFL allows a team to introduce another alternate this year. They can wear them, I think, three different games.
Right.
I think that's happening. I think the big question is like a spear, if a spear helmet or just a spear gets re-involved. I don't know if you have any intel on that, but I think it's wild how interested folks remain in any and all. I think like every other NFL team, the Eagles roll out a new alternate. It's fun. It's exciting. Here it becomes like this incredibly divisive conversation.
Oh, does it? I hadn't noticed that. I had heard like with the throwbacks, I don't know about similar, but like that what I'd heard too is like they were because people wonder like were they changing the uniforms this year? I was like, no, it's just the throwbacks, right? And that if they changed it, it wouldn't be. I think there's still a process you have to go through. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Kevin said next year. I haven't heard that, but I also, to be honest, haven't looked too deeply into that right now. It's something I talked to people about in the spring. And so I don't know what level of progress or thought has been put into it since that time, because a little bit more focused on spring practices,
sure.
RFK Stadium,
the important stuff,
et cetera. Yeah. The important stuff. Yeah. Like I understand the laundry and I understand the whole connection to the past, et cetera. One thing that you know for sure, and I think you see it in the, naming the draft room after Bobby Bethard, they want to be connected to their past. They're not shying away from that. It has never meant that they're going back to the name or anything like that, but they're not shying away from their history, and including, like, I always thought that it was a mistake to change the look. And when they were the Washington football teams, you at least felt like, at least I did, maybe I'm wrong in this, but at least for me, I felt like I was watching the same franchise.
Right.
And then when they went to this big change, it, to me, it was like it was a big shift. Not only do you lose the name and the logo, but now you lost your look as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm an Indians fan, Guardians fan, Indians, whatever. Like, when they changed, they kept their look the same. There are a lot of people there who do not like the name. It's somewhat similar, right? But at least you feel like you're watching the same franchise. Yeah. That, to me, was always a mistake here, that they changed it as much as they did.
Well, you know they didn't know what the hell they were doing, basically.
Well, there is that. Yeah, there is that.
And, just that part.
Yeah, that's. You know, there's a, like that sentence could be applied to a lot of things over the last however many years.
Yeah.
Last thing, on a personal level, B and I have talked about this. How lucky are we as people that, you know, are invested in this team, but also it's work, it's day-to-day work, that McLaurin is not the type to do, like, Ayuk.
Oh, my God.
Like to do the Instagram stuff. Like, he just keeps it cool, under the radar, and everything's going to play out behind closed doors.
A massive – you know what? I hadn't even thought about that. But thank God, because what that would – you know what this means. What it would mean, it means that you're never – listen, it's hard to always break away from this beat. It means you're never off.
Right.
And because, like, you don't know when it could – when he could hop on someone's podcast and say something or do this or that. Like, both sides are handling it pretty quiet at this point. And I am
But I expected that. I didn't expect anybody to go off. It's very similar to when Joe Gibbs had when I was playing here early, and Coach Gibbs made a comment in the meeting, and I totally disagree. And I walked in his office and asked, could I talk to him? Closed the door. We had a conversation. He said, I'm glad you came in my office, because you had said this in front of people, we would have a problem. Yeah. Terry is not going to do anything like to make anything where a person have to show me. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's classy. And I think I respect what's happening. But, you know, today everybody lives like they are part of a damn social media experience where they want everybody to just say what they think they should say. Why? For their entertainment. To hell with your entertainment. They're handling their business behind closed doors. It happens.
Yeah, and I listen, you know, as a reporter, obviously you want all the information you can get. I will say both sides are very, very quiet. So, I think there is nothing wrong with that, you know, because I think it leads to a better relationship between team and player, I think. But you're right, like with McLaurin, listen, man, he's had to deal with so much stuff over the years. And, like, whenever anything happened, it was always Terry McLaurin is the voice for the players, right? He was always there to discuss, and he would always give a long, thoughtful answer, and he would never get himself in trouble. Listen, remember after that Giants game, he basically criticized the game plan, but it was done in such a way where it's like it didn't make headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And,
totally.
You know, like, and it's, you know, it's a knack that he has, so he knows how to keep it like that. Doesn't mean that he might not get frustrated with whatever the pace is, whatever he hears, whatever. But you know he'll be professional, and when he's here, for sure. And ultimately, the dude's going to get paid. It's just a matter of making sure it works for both. And that's, you know, this is still like this team has to worry about, you know, it's not just about one player for them, right? And because you have other things you're going to focus on too, other players down the road, or even after this year. Like, what if Deebo Samuel does really well and you want to keep him? You know, there's a lot of things to consider, but ultimately they both know that they're better together. And Terry in this market is, we know what he means.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, like, this is a great place for him, and he's a great person for them.
Thank you for the time, Con. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's our boy John Keim. Give him a follow at John_Keim. Check out the John Keim Report. Nobody go anywhere.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I got a James Woods stat for you, B.
What's that?
All right. Through their first, I believe it's through their first 162 career games. 162 is a baseball season, mm-hmm. right? Standard season. Through their first 162 career games in Nationals or Expos, going all the way back, franchise history.
Expos.
Who do you think has hit the most home runs in their first 162? Not their first full season in the bigs, but their first 162.
Out of who?
The whole organizational James history. Three players are tied with 31 home runs in their first 162. Soto, Bryce Harper, and now James Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And James Wood has done that.
He's done it.
Through 158 games.
So he can break it.
He could break it. Got four games to break it. And it's getting to the point where I'd be hard-pressed to think he won't.
I would love for you to be my teacher. You just give the answers, you know.
Well, I'm not trying to make it. Well, now, there were three people. You named one of them.
Well, but
if I'm talking a record right now, it's probably going to be a Wood record.
But if you're asking, I know James Wood, one of them.
That's pretty impressive company, man.
Yeah.
He is that dude, man.
He smashes the ball, dog.
Smashes it.
Yeah. And he can run.
The speed is crazy for his body.
Mm-hmm.
Being 6'7", and it looks like effortless.
See, the thing about it is this. When you look at baseball, you see a 6'7", 250-pound guy, and you go, wow, he's huge. He's a tight end. He's a small tight end, basically.
Yeah,
and if he's athletic, if he was on the football field running like he runs, nobody would say one word. It's just because baseball, we don't normally see big guys doing that. They normally just hit home runs, and they can't do everything else good. And normally guys his size are normally DHs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's basically like what happened when you were in high school and you were younger. These super athletes played every sport. You know what I mean? And hell, he decided as he went forward, baseball don't give me concussions. I don't have to block Chris Jones.
Right.
You know, I can go out here and just hit this little white ball and run every once in a while. And if I have to run over somebody at the plate, I'm going to probably be bigger than him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he made a great decision because he was able to play multiple sports. He's just a better athlete than the average baseball player would be.
I mean, he hit another bomb last night. Josh Bell hit a home run last night. C.J. Abrams, I think, scored two or three times. Yeah. Brady House, the kid they just called up, had an RBI last night. Good night for the Nats. Win 10-6. You know, the losing streak is what it is, but they're now 3-2 in their last five, and it is cool to see specifically Wood and Abrams in San Diego, where, you know, this haul came from the Soto trade.
Yeah.
Just kind of feels right.
Feels right. Feels good.
Here's what we're going to do when we return. Let's take a look at not the best teams in the NFL, but the most entertaining teams in the NFL. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.